Okay, so first of all, I am just one of you because I still am not able to post any messages into the Ahmed Yomi chat, just like everyone else. So I'm just a regular guy. Okay, we are starting on Chav Chesem Bey. We got up to the Mishnah last night. So the Gemara is going to get back a little bit now. We had moved off the stories. Now we're going to get back into what types, the way they're supposed to daven Shmoneh Esrei. So the Mishnah says on Chav Chesem Bey, Rabban Gamliel Omer, B'chol Yom V'Yom Ispa'al Adam Shmoneh Esrei, that every day a person is supposed to daven Shmoneh Esrei, which is the traditional Shmoneh Esrei that we know. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Me'ein Shmoneh Esrei, that you're supposed to do, and the Rashi says that the Gemara will talk, it's going to be a shorter version of Shmoneh Esrei. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Im Shkura Tfilas B'Fiv, Mispa'al Shmoneh Esrei, that if a person knows how to daven Shmoneh Esrei, if it's fluent in his mouth, because again, remember that in the days when this was written, they didn't have Sidurim like we do now, where you just open up the Siddur and you're able to daven. Everyone was doing everything by heart. So if someone is confident that he's able to daven Shmoneh Esrei fluently, then he's supposed to daven Shmoneh Esrei. Vim Lav, Me'ein Shmoneh Esrei, then you could daven a shorter version of Shmoneh Esrei, which the Gemara is going to go through that probably tonight, what that shorter version was. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ha'osa Tfilas Okev, if someone makes his davening fixed, Ein Tfilas Tachnunim, then it's not really, it's, not that it's not accepted, but it's not a real tefillah, which means that if a person is just davening by rote, which you know, you start Shmoneh Esrei, and then, you know, 4 or 5 minutes later, you realize that you're taking 3 steps back, or 2 minutes later, you realize you're taking 3 steps back, but you really didn't think about anything that you were saying, that's not the way you're supposed to be davening. You're really supposed to, I mean, the words are there, and you're supposed to have intent when you're saying the words, but you're really supposed to be putting thought into the words that you're saying. And we had Rabbi Silber mentioned from the Piazetzna a couple of weeks ago at the Sefer Chassidus year. He said that davening could be any time of the day, like when you feel motivated to daven. Okay, so there's a set tefillos that we have where we daven Shacharis Mincha Maariv, but then there's also, you know, you're in your car and you're driving to work and you just feel moved at that time. You could start davening right then, Tashem. You don't have to have a set. There's no set words that you're saying when you're davening. It's really, it's prayer to Hashem is really whatever you are comfortable saying in any language, you know, in your thoughts, in your words, whatever you're comfortable saying, you're able to daven at any time. So the Mishnah is saying that you shouldn't make your tefillah set, that it's just being done by rote, but there should be a thought and preparation that's going into it. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Haholech B'Makom Sakon, if someone's traveling in a dangerous place, Mispa'al Tefillah Katzaras, you're supposed to say instead of Shmoneh Esrei, you're supposed to say a short tefillah, and what is that? V'Omer, Hosha Hashem Es Amcha Eretz Yisrael, that Hashem should save your nation from Klal Yisrael, B'chol Prasha Si'ibur Yitzarchem Lefunecha, that at every, and again, I'm not going to translate it now because the Gemara will later, at every Prasha Se'ibor, their needs should be before you, that you should answer them. Baruch Atah Hashem Shmei HaTefillah, that you are blessed that you hear all our tefillos. If someone's riding on a donkey, which, again, I'm not a Rav or a Rabbi or a Posek, but I would imagine that the equivalent of this today is if someone's driving on the highway, and it's time to daven. So if someone's riding on a donkey, and it was time to daven, Yerid V'Yispal, you're supposed to get down, you're supposed to daven, because we want you to have the proper intent when you're davening. And if someone's sitting on a donkey, I would imagine, I don't have a lot of experience sitting on a donkey, but if someone was sitting on a donkey, then then you're not able to have the proper intent when you're davening. If you're not able to get down, Yachshu is part of, you're supposed to turn your face towards Yerushalayim, so that you at least, you're going through the motion of turning your body towards where Yerushalayim is. If you're not able to turn your face even when you're sitting on the donkey, you should at least have in your heart, you should have intent that you want to be davening towards where the Kodesh HaKadoshim is. And it's actually brought down la halacha that if someone was sitting on a, it's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah that if someone was sitting on a donkey and had to daven, then when they get to Osa Shalom Bim Romov, you're supposed to move the donkey 3 steps back, which I don't know how to move it 3 steps forward, so I'm not going to know how to move it 3 steps back. But you know, but that is brought down that you're supposed, that if someone can't get down off their donkey, that is what they're supposed to be doing. Hayam halach besvina o beasta. Someone was traveling on a boat, or if he was in jail, yichavin eslibo kenege beis kachek kadashim. So again, if he's not able to turn his direction to where he's supposed to be davening for Shmoneh Esrei, he should at least have in mind that he's davening towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim to daven Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, so we're up to the Gemara now. Hi Shmoneh Esrei Kenegan me. Where are these 18 brachos that we say in Shmoneh Esrei? Who is this Kenegan? And Rav Soloveitchik says that, like, why do we have to know who the 18 brachos are Kenegan? Or later on we're going to ask, you know, where do we get the seven brachos for Shabbos, etc. And he says, because we're going to have in a couple of blot, the Gemara is going to say, is going to bring down about someone who got up to daven. He said, Hakelam agad al gibar vanora, and he kept going. He kept adding in additional words into the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. And so they said to him, is that all you have? You don't have anything more to say about Hashem? So you see that there's this reluctance for someone to just sit and to make up tefillos. So therefore, the Gemara is asking, where did these 18 brachos that we say in Shemoneh Esrei, where does that come from? And then we're going to show that Chazal are going to say that they had a basis in why they came up with the Shemoneh Esrei that we say. Amar Rav Hillel braid Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni kineged Shemoneh Esrei as karo she'amar David behavel Hashem b'nei Elim. That if you look at the Kapitel Tehillim that we say before we say Ana b'chowach, in Kabbalah Shabbos every Friday night. So it says 18 times it says Hashem's name in that capital of Tehillim. So that's where we get the Shemoneh Esrei from. Rabbi Yosef says it comes from another place. Keneged Shemoneh Esrei as Karosh b'Kriya Shema. That if you count in Kriya Shema, it says Hashem's name 18 times. So that's where we say Shemoneh Esrei 18 times. Amar Rav Tanchum, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, and he says it comes from a different place. He says it, Keneged Shemoneh Esrei Chul Yosheh B'Shidra, that apparently there are 18 vertebrae in the spine, and that's where we say, and that's where we got the Shemoneh Esrei from. Amar Rav Tanchum, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, HaMespal Tzarech Sheyircha, that when someone is davening and he gets to the parts of Shemoneh Esrei where he's supposed to be bowing down, so he has to bow down, Ad Sheyispakeku Kol Chul Yosheh B'Shidra, until all of the vertebrae in your spine are kind of like popping out as you're bowing down. Ula Amar Ad Kedei Sheyira Isar Keneged Libo, that if someone was a heavy person, I don't know from this, but if someone was a heavy person, when they're bending down, so the flesh of their stomach kind of, it folds over, and it creates there's different pieces of flesh there. So when a person's bowing down, he should be bowing down far enough that he's going to be able to see those folds of flesh when he's doing that. Rav Chanina says, Kivan Shinena Rosho Shuvin Itzarach. Once you bow your head down, that's all you need to do. You don't have to bow down the rest of your body. You don't have to have this vertebrae popping out as you're doing it. Amar Rava, but Rava says that that's not accurate. V'hudim etzar nafshi. The only time that a person can just bow his head down and not the rest of his body is only if he's in a lot of pain, if someone who's older, so you're supposed to do the best that you could do. But if someone is a healthy person and it doesn't bother him to be bowing down during Shemoneh Esrei, then he should be bowing down in this position where his vertebrae are coming out. And even this person that has trouble bowing down, but he has to be able, he should show people that he's trying to bow down, just he's not able to do it, but he's making the best effort that he can to bow down during Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Hani Tamni Srei, we said that you daven Shemoneh Esrei, you have 18 brachos in Shemoneh Esrei. So Hani Tamni Srei, Tasharin Havim, why do you say that there's 18 brachos in Shemoneh Esrei? If you take out your sitter and count it, now you'll find that there are actually 19 brachos in Shemoneh Esrei. So why do we call it Shemoneh Esrei, which Shemoneh Esrei means 18? Why do we call it that? Amar Rav Levi, Birchas Hatzdukim B'Yavne Tiknua, that the bracha of Olam Alshinim in Shemoneh Esrei was actually was set up later on, in not when the original 18 brachos were set up, and the Gemara is going to talk about where that came from, but it was set up afterwards because there were a lot of minim that were coming, a lot of apikarsim that were starting to come about during that time, so they created the bracha of Olam Alshinim, but they still called it Shemoneh Esrei, but technically there's really 19 brachos in Shemoneh Esrei. And the Gemara asks, "Kneged mitiknua?" So what, this 19th bracha that we have, just like we tried to establish earlier, where we come up with the 18 brachos. So where did the 19? So where do we come up with the 19th bracha? What is that? What is that corresponding to? I'm Rav Levi. So Rav Levi says, "Rav Hillel braid Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni." So according to Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, who said that it's because it says 18 times in the Kapitel Tehillim before Lechadodi and Kabbal Shabbos, it says. Keneged Kel HaKavod Hirim, because it also says in that capital of Tehillim, it says the words Kel HaKavod. So Kel, even though it's not Yud Kei Vav Kei, but it still represents Hashem. So that's the 19th mention of Hashem in that capital of Tehillim. So that's where we get it from. Rabbi Yosef, and according to Rabbi Yosef, who said that it was said 18 times in Shema, so where does he, what is this 19th V'lam Alshinim, what's that corresponding to? Keneged Echa Sheva Kriya Shema, when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, which is representative of Hashem, that is the 19th time that Hashem's name is appearing. Again, it doesn't say Hashem's name, it says Echad, but that is representative of Hashem. So that with the Yud Kei Vav Keis, and I think in action also an Elokim, it's a combination, that's where you get 19. And Rav Tachum Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, according to Rav Tachum from Rav Yeshua ben Levi, who said that it was corresponding to the 18 vertebrae that a person has. So where does this 19th bracha, where does this 19th come from? Keneged chulya katana shebeshidra, it's keneged the small vertebrae that's in the spine, which is the luzbone, which there, I think the Gemara says somewhere that that la'asid love in the future, when there's tchias amesim, that the body's going to be regenerated from this luzbone that's, you know, that's what's going to generate from. So that's the three of them had different places where they learn that we have Shmona Esrei, and each one of them is able to explain where we come up with the 19th for V'lam Al Shinim. Okay, so now we're going to talk about where the bracha of V'lam Al Shinim came from. Tan Rabbanan. Shimon HaPakuli, his Shmona Esrei bracha al-Tifnei Rabban Gamliel al-Seder B'Yavna. Shimon HaPakuli, which was Rashi says he was a cotton merchant. If you ever want to be bilingual, if you look at the last Rashi, on the last word is cotton. So anyway, so he was a cotton merchant, and he, again, they did not have, nothing was written down back then. So they knew what Shmona Esrei was, but somehow over the course of time, the order of the brachos they kind of got mixed up. So this Shimon, the cotton merchant, was able to, before Rabban Gamliel, he was able to show him what the proper way was that you're supposed to be saying Shmona Esrei. Amal Han Rabban Gamliel Chacham. So Rabban Gamliel, who was aware at the time that there was a lot of problems now with Apikarsim, with the Minim that were prevalent in that time. So he said to them, Klum Yesh Adam Shiyodeh L'Sakim Birchas HaTzdukim. Is there anyone who knows how to set up a bracha that we're going to be able to say against the Tzdukim? So Amal Shmuel HaKatan, Shmuel got up, V'tikna, and he was the one that was able to establish, he was able to create the bracha of Olam HaShinim. L'Shan HaChares, the next year again, because, and I don't know why it was a full year that passed. I don't know the answer to that, but apparently they didn't say it every day then. And again, not everyone was nothing was written down, and not everyone was saying Shmona Esrei at the time. A lot of people, Chazar Sashas was for people that didn't know how to say Shmona Esrei. So the next year, Shmuel HaKotten got up to Dam for the Amud, Shachacha, and he forgot it. He didn't remember the bracha that he had created. Okay, so we're turning now to Chavtes Amud Aleph. So, V'hishkif Bashtayim V'shalosh Shos, Lo halu. He stood there for 2 or 3 hours trying to remember what, you know, how the bracha of Olam HaShinim went, and they did not take him down while he was standing up there. They did not take him down and put someone else up there. So again, 2 or 3 hours, someone would have to call me at work and tell me what ended up happening with that. But it was a long time that he was standing up there trying to remember. He was not able to remember it. Okay, that's what it was. So the Gemara asks now, Amai lo halu, why didn't they take him down? Again, he forgot what the bracha of Olam HaShinim was. So why didn't they take him down? V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says, Tab chal brachos kulan, that if someone made a mistake when he was the leader, when he was the chazen, and he's doing chazar sashatz, and he forgot a bracha, ain malin oso, we do not take him down from being the chazen. But if let's say someone was davening for the Amud and he messes up with the bracha of Olam HaShinim, then we do take him down. So why did they leave Shmuel HaKotten standing up there for 2 or 3 hours while he was trying to remember it? Why didn't they take him down? Why weren't they worried that he was an apikoris? Because we're worried that if someone doesn't say Olam HaShinim, we're worried because a person doesn't want to get up there. If someone knows that he's an apikoros, if he doesn't believe in God, he doesn't want to get up there and say, anyone that doesn't believe in God should be destroyed and wiped out. He doesn't want to say that. So why don't we worry that Shmuel HaKotten was actually an apikoros, and that's why he was not saying the bracha of Olam HaShinim? Chashin and Shema Minhu, so we're worried that he's a min, so why didn't they take him down? So I'm going to answer Shani Shmuel HaKotten, Diyu Takna, that Shmuel HaKotten was different. He was the one that created the bracha. So if he created the bracha, we're not worried that he's an apikoros. We don't have that fear, because if he was, then he wouldn't have put together the wording about destroying an apikoros. So the fact that he created the bracha, that's why they gave him a special dispensation and they allowed him to stay up there and try to remember what the bracha was. So the Gemara asks, V'nechosh Dilma Harbe, why don't we, even though Shmuel HaKotten created the bracha, why don't we be afraid that maybe he changed? Maybe since he created the bracha, he became an apikoros, and that's why he didn't want to say the bracha now when he was davening for the Amud. Rabbi, so Rabbi answers, Gemiri Tavad Lo Havibisha. We have a tradition that a person who's good, if you have someone that's a good person, he doesn't become bad. So Shmuel HaKotten was a good person. He created the bracha of Olam HaShinim. So if he wasn't remembering it, it was just because he forgot it. It's not because he had gone over to the dark side. So the Gemara asks, "Velo, and then are you positive that someone who's good can never go bad?" V'aksiv, it says in the pasuk, "Uvashuv tzaddik mitzikaso va'asa avol," that when a tzaddik turns away from his righteousness and he starts doing bad things. So you see that a good person could become a bad person. So why aren't we worried again that Shmuel HaKatan had become an apikaros, and they should have taken him down from the Amud? The Gemara answers, "Hahu rasha meikaro." That's only if someone was wicked from the start. Then we say that he can go back and he can revert to his bad ways. But if someone was a tzaddik from the beginning, he's not going to go off the path and he's going to stay a righteous person. Avol tzaddik may karolo. If someone was a tzaddik from the beginning, we're not worried about that. So Gemara asks, "Velo, are we really not worried that someone who was a tzaddik can never become bad? And only if they were a rush in the beginning and then they did tshuva, only they're the ones that could go off the derech?" But now we learned in a Mishnah, don't trust in yourself until the day that you die. Why? He was Kohen Gadol for 80 years in the Beis HaMikdash, which means that every year he walked into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it talks about how someone was not fit to be the Kohen Gadol, they would die. They would have like a string and they would yank him out because they had people who tried to buy their way to be the Kohen Gadol. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol, for 80 years, he went in to do the Avod and the Beis HaMikdash and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And what happened? Ulubasof Nasat Stuki. At the end of his days, he became a Stuki. So you see that a good person could become a bad person. You can't get better than someone that's able to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim for 80 years. And yet you still see that he went off the path of righteousness and he became a Stuki. So Amar Abai says, Hu Yanai Hu Yochanan, that Yanai, who was a Rasha, who was a king, who was a Russian, and he killed out many Jews. So Yanai was, and Yochanan are the same person. Okay? So therefore, for according to Abaye, it's not a question, because Yochanan Kohen Gadol was not a tzaddik the whole time. Originally, he was a bad person. He did tshuva, and they called him Yochanan, and became the Kohen Gadol for 80 years, because he did tshuva, but in the end, he reverted to his bad ways. But he really, it was not someone that was a tzaddik from the start, it was only someone that had become, was a Rasha, became a tzaddik, and then he became a Rasha again. Rava Amar, Rava says, Yanai l'chud v'yochanan l'chud, that they were separate people. Yanai Rasha meikar, Rav Yochanan tzaddik meikar, that Yanai was a Rasha from the beginning, and Yochanan was a tzaddik for all his life. So the Gemara says, Hani chala baye. So according to Abaye, like we said, it's not a problem, because since they were one and the same person, Yanai was wicked, became good, became wicked again. So therefore, that's why he went off. Elal Rava, Kasha, but according to Rav, who says that that Yanai and Yochanan Kohen Gadol were separate people, so why didn't we take down, if they're good, so you see that a tzaddik is able to become a bad person, because Yochanan Kohen Gadol was separate from Yanai, and he became a Rasha after serving the Beis HaMikdash for 80 years. Amar Lach Rava, so Rava will answer, tzaddik meikaro nami dilma harbe, that it's possible that someone from a tzaddik from the beginning can also go off the path. And then we'll finish up very quickly. So if you say that a tzaddik from the beginning could go off the path and become wicked, then why did they leave Shmuel HaKatan up there? Shmuel HaKatan, who created the bracha of Olam HaShinim, they should have taken him down because he forgot the next year. Why weren't they worried that he became an apikaris? So Gemara answers, Shani Shmuel HaKatan, he was different to Asluba because he was the one that, he started saying the bracha. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Vitam Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lo Shano Shalo Hiskhlaba. That the only time that we say that we take someone down if he's not saying the bracha of Olam HaShinim because we're afraid he's an apikaris is if he never even started the bracha. So like he completely skips over it, then we're worried that he's an apikaris. But Aval Hiskhlaba Gomra, but if someone started the bracha and then he made a mistake, then we give him a chance to finish it. And that's what Shmuel HaKatan did. Shmuel HaKatan started saying the bracha of Olam HaShinim and then he forgot what it was and they stood for 2 or 3 hours and he wasn't able to remember it. But we will stop here tonight. Sure.